Okay. So this morning I would like to talk about the idea of commitment. Andrickson will be getting baptized in water. He has committed his life to the Lord. From time to time, we all need to be reminded about commitment and our level of seriousness of our commitment to the Lord. How serious are we about our commitment to Jesus? During different times in our lives, we may make a commitment to a person, to a certain level of education, to job requirements such as the amount of time that may be required for travel, a commitment to a financial obligation such as a mortgage. The most important commitment in our lives is our commitment to Jesus and serving Him, more important than all the other commitments we just spoke about. How much importance and effort do we give to keeping and strengthening that commitment to Jesus? Do we give a priority to our commitment to the Lord? Jesus was committed to coming to earth and suffering and dying for our salvation. If He could be committed to us, considering our sinful nature, how much more we should be committed to Him. His commitment to us involved much sorrow, misunderstanding, intense pain, suffering, agony. With this in mind, we should be totally committed to Jesus. This morning, we want to ask ourselves, how committed are we to the Lord? If you could turn to Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. Exodus 21 and beginning at verse 1. Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years. But on the seventh, he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man, then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. Prior to the discussion of the Hebrew servant and decisions, I'd like to speak briefly briefly review servitude under the Mosaic Law. We know from studying American history that slavery, for the most part, was abolished in the 1860s. A person may question, why did the Mosaic Law allow slavery? So let's briefly get into that so we understand why the Mosaic Law allowed it. Some of the Mosaic Law actually gave rights to and protected the servant or slave. What were the laws regarding servants or slaves? As we read, a servant could have gone free after 6 years. A Hebrew could not be in perpetual bondage. An Israelite who sold himself into service as a hired worker was to be released in the year of Jubilee, which occurred every 50 years. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 to 55, just a reference. The servant or the slave had guaranteed right to the Sabbath rest. The servant was permitted to share in religious feasts. The slave in the house of a priest was permitted to eat of the offering of holy things. These are nice things, nice experiences that the servant had. The murder of a slave was punishable. If the master maimed the slave was to be set free. As we read, servants were permitted to marry. If the servant became rich, he was permitted to redeem himself. So these slaves had some nice rights. What about the decisions of the Hebrew servant? After 6 years, the Hebrew servant had to make a decision whether or not to stay with his master. It is possible that the servant stayed with his master so that he would not lose his wife or children. Other times, the servant remained with the master because a good relationship developed between the servant and the master, and the servant loved the master. How much more we should love our master, Jesus, who calls us not servants, but friends. And our master suffered and died for his friends, actually while we were yet enemies in sin. Our master wants to take us to an unimaginable place called heaven, where we will live forever with him. Once the servant made a commitment to his master, his ear was pierced. It is possible that a tag was placed on the ear. We need to come to that time in our Christian walk when we commit or recommit and are totally serious about our commitment to the Lord. Have we come to really know our Master, Jesus, to love him with all our heart, which we should, to be totally committed to him, and to be determined that we will never leave him? I mean, if a slave could say, I'm not going to leave my master, how much more we could say to Jesus, I'm never going to leave you? Do we know him well enough to say that? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 states, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. The more we love the Lord, the more we will be committed to him. The more we know Jesus, the more we will love him. How well do we know Jesus this morning? When we accepted the Lord into our lives, we said that we would serve him all the days of our lives. But are we genuinely committed to Jesus, that we will serve him every day, all the days of our lives? Are we serving the Lord the way we should serve him and the way he deserves to be served? Verse 5 of Exodus chapter 21 states, I will not go out a free man. A very important thing here. How could anyone be free in this world? The slave said, I will not go out a free man. How could anyone be free in this world? There is no freedom in this world. In the world, there is nothing but bondage to Satan. Put on the news and you'll find out. The only freedom we have is in Jesus Christ. That's the only place that you are going to find freedom. And if a person doesn't have Jesus in his or her life, he or she is not free. There's only freedom in Jesus, no place else. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, a beautiful prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them who are bound, because there is only freedom in this life in Jesus. If a person doesn't have Jesus in his or her life, he or she is not free. Jesus is the only one who sets the captive free. How many people have testified of that? Want to read John chapter 6, verses 66 to 69? I believe this is the last reading for this morning. John chapter 6, verses 66 to 69. At this point in time, many people stopped following Jesus. Big mistake. They turned around. They heard Jesus' words. They said, this is a hard saying. Who could hear it? And they quit following Jesus. The worst thing they ever could have done. Jesus had been teaching along the Sea of Galilee. And let's read 66 to 69. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. Many of the people, not understanding Jesus' teaching, decided not to follow him any longer. And rather than ask him for explanation, these people made the wrong decision to not follow him. Jesus then gave the option to his disciples whether or not they wanted to leave also. And Peter, speaking for himself and the other disciples, gave an answer which shows a revelation of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. What we should ask the Lord for this morning is a greater understanding and revelation of him. You could say, well, I've been in church 50 or 60 years. You could still get the greater revelation and understanding of Jesus. If you have genuinely experienced life with Jesus and have come to know who he really is, what he accomplished for us at the cross, and all that he means to us, if you have had a genuine revelation of Jesus, you will not be able to leave him. I want to repeat that. If you have genuinely experienced life with Jesus and have come to know who he really is, if you have had a genuine revelation of Jesus, you will not be able to leave him. No way. How did you leave someone who was so good that he is beyond description, who is and always will be undefined? How do you leave someone who is infinite love and loves us with a love that is beyond our ability to understand? Now, getting back to the Hebrew servant, when the ear was pierced, the servant could not and did not want to serve any other master. Ear piercing meant that the servant could not be bought by another master. And when the person is genuinely committed and dedicated to Christ, he will not want any other master. If we are genuinely and seriously committed to serving Jesus, we will not want any part of serving anything in this world any longer. Our attention, our focus on our love will be on Jesus. We will not be so distracted by worldly, temporal things. The second verse of the hymn, All for Jesus, states, Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. And here it comes. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. We need tunnel vision on Jesus. The third verse of that hymn states, Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchained my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'll read to you. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We are committing not to an earthly Lord, but to the one and only sovereign Lord. If we are going to be committed to anyone, it doesn't get any better than a serious, total commitment to Jesus. A serious total commitment to Jesus. And in John chapter 8, verse 36, the words of Jesus, So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Serving Jesus is not slavery. It's the best thing that could ever happen to you, the best decision you will ever make. It is not slavery. It is a willing commitment to him. The best commitment you could ever make. John chapter 15, verse 15, the words of Jesus. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Consider the idea of Jesus calling you his friend. The Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords calling you his friend. The Son of God, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords calling you his friend, but it's absolute truth. That's a friendship that encompasses infinite grace, infinite love, and the friendship cannot get any better than that. To know him is to love him. The more you love the Lord, the more you will be committed to him. Also, the saying applies, to know him is to love him. Madame Guyon, she was a French Christian in the late 1600s, early 1700s, and she said, referring to Jesus, you are not loved because you are not understood. How well do we know and understand Jesus this morning? You are not loved because you are not understood. The more time you spend with a person, the better you will know him or her. How much time do we spend with Jesus? The more you know him, the more you will love him. The more you love Jesus, the greater will be your commitment to him. How much time do we love Jesus? How much do we love Jesus? How much time do we give to him? How much time are we giving to Jesus versus how much time are we giving to distractions? Oh, a good point. We give a lot of time to distractions. And Jesus is waiting every day for time to be spent with him. Do we hunger and thirst for Jesus and his kingdom? Or do we hunger and thirst for temporal things of this world that will pass away? How much are we willing to sacrifice for Jesus? Are we seriously committed to him? Is our commitment so strong that we are ready to go to the doorpost and have our ear pierced with an awl? Very important point. If we are not ready to go to the doorpost, we really need to examine our lives this morning.